What about taxing social media? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, Samsung of South Korea has a big product unveiling tomorrow. Among expectations, a smartphone that is bendy and opens to double the screen size. Will that prompt a turnaround for Samsung, which needs one? Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The future unfolds, screams Samsung's new promo video. But is folding the future as far as phones? Kyle Weens is co-founder of iFixit, which does teardowns of every new gizmo.
Do we care? Do we want our phones to be flexible? I'm not sure the answer to that is yes. Sometimes Samsung will come up with a technological innovation because they can, not necessarily because they should.
Samsung earnings fell 29% last quarter, and it forecast a weak 2019. In addition to its own products, Samsung sells components to other device makers. But we're all upgrading less often, and the big China market is slowing. For its next trick, Roger Kay at Endpoint Technologies says Samsung will embed its chips in web-connected cars, buildings, and appliances.
Those markets are small and fragmented, but they will account for a lot of the silicon volume in the next 5 years.
The challenge will be this year. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, Samsung competitor Apple is reportedly undergoing a shakeup of top executives and shifting funding to move away from its dependence on iPhone sales. Among other things, the Wall Street Journal says there will be a boost in Apple's Netflix-style TV and movie production, and reportedly Apple is talking with big newspapers about a paid subscription-based Apple News service. Now to a country that's trying a tax on social media. Uganda in East Africa has started this, in part to raise money, in part to tamp down what the president there has referred to as gossip. BBC multimedia reporter Catherine Byaruhanga is in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Thanks for doing this.
It's a pleasure, David.
Before we get to some of the early effects, what was the point of this social media tax?
So this social media tax was basically came out as a leak in a letter that the president wrote to government officials saying that they needed to boost tax intake. He talked about taxing social media because it says, well, it's not productive for the economy anyway. So he says we should tax these platforms and make sure the government is getting more revenue.
Okay. And using social media, the government was able to tweet some of the early results. What are some of the effects of this internet tax in Uganda?
Well, one of the most striking things is that internet subscriptions have actually gone down. So there are 2.5 million fewer users, people using the internet. And obviously this has a big impact on the economy where you're trying to encourage people to use the internet for business, for education. So if you actually see subscriber numbers going down, that is worrying.
The equivalent of 5 U.S. cents a day for this social media tax in the West will sound like a low figure, but in the context of Uganda, that's a sizable chunk of money?
It is. That's basically doubling the cost of your data. They're automatically being priced out of the market by this tax.
Speaking from the Ugandan capital, Kampala, the BBC's Catherine Byaruhanga, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, David.
James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible. Nearly a third of food prepared by restaurants and grocery stores winds up as waste. This even as 40 million Americans grapple with not enough food to eat. That according to the Environmental Protection Agency. To address this, many businesses are trying to reduce food waste, but it's still complicated for them to get perishables to shelters or food banks. As Shalina Chatlani in Nashville reports, some food delivery companies are now offering to link those in need with those that have a surplus.
Miel is an intimate restaurant in Nashville. Its tiny freezer is crammed with ingredients and a mixture of leftovers.
Oh, here's yesterday's staff meal. We had naan and raita, like a yogurt sauce, and brats. Random, but it was yummy.
Seema Prasad is the owner. If she doesn't feed staff with unused meals, she'll donate the rest to local shelters. But that requires her to stay late and package food to deliver early in the morning.
In our dream world, we would have someone coming by at the end of the night picking everything up.
There are apps and services made to fight food waste. Prasad has tried using some of them, but she says reliable transportation is still an issue. And that's because restaurants can't keep food for long, says Linda Bregan of the Nashville Food Waste Initiative.
A lot of restaurants are small, they don't have the storage space, and they don't know how to transport it somewhere.
Bregan says a couple of food delivery businesses in Nashville, like DoorDash and Postmates, are starting to provide transportation. Prasad hasn't tried these yet. Postmates gives partner restaurants an iPad with an application, says Disney Petit, the manager of a sustainability team there.
When the restaurant is closed for the evening, they get a pop-up that says, do you have leftover food that you'd like to donate? They just press a button that says yes.
A vehicle then picks up the food to take to a shelter. Petit says the company piloted this program last year in Los Angeles and delivered 1,000 pounds of food in just 2 weeks. Now, over 500 restaurants there are participating. The company is expanding this program to other cities. Right now, it's paying the cost of the service, but eventually restaurants would have to pay.
Our solution is to find a network of shelters that accept this food at a reasonable distance from them so that this program can be affordable.
Postmates says it will try to keep the price at $10 or less per delivery so small businesses can afford it. Nashville restaurant owner Prasad says if she has a good amount of perishable food, she'd likely use this service. In Nashville, I'm Shalina Chotlani for Marketplace.
And the fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld has died. He took on the challenge of turning around the House of Chanel when it was on the rocks and was an early pioneer in women's ready-to-wear. Lagerfeld was born in Germany, possibly near Hamburg. His age was uncertain. The Associated Press is going with 85. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.